Think about the last time an app just completely froze or crashed on you.
Oh, yeah. Happens all the time.
Right. And if you were, just playing a mobile game or something, maybe it was just a minor annoyance. You swipe it away, you restart, you move on.
Exactly. You don't even think about it.
But what if you were using your banking app to transfer a massive sum of money, and right as you hit submit, the screen just it just hangs there.
That is the worst feeling, the absolute panic.
But what if it was a healthcare portal? Right. You're trying to access critical test results and the system just utterly fails to load. The
Yeah.
stakes change completely in those moments.
They absolutely do.
We've all grown so, well, accustomed to this illusion of seamless software. We tap, we swipe, and we just expect the digital world to respond perfectly every single
It
time.
really is an illusion, though.
It is. And for those of us looking behind the curtain, we know that kind of quality never ever happens by magic. It requires this rigorous, almost, obsessive framework to keep things from just completely falling apart.
Yeah, that seamless experience you have on your device, that is the end product of an incredibly rigid, heavily defined process happening in the background.
Right.
Every time a complex platform doesn't crash under pressure, or every time a secure login actually, keeps your data safe, you are benefiting from a highly structured system
Oh.
of quality control.
The invisible guardians.
Exactly. The average user only sees the surface, but the underlying mechanics are massive.
And that is exactly our mission for this deep dive today. We are going to demystify those invisible guardians of quality who ensure that the software you rely on actually functions the way it's supposed to.
It's a great topic.
We're basing our analysis today on the globally recognized ISTQB standard. Now, for those of you navigating the industry, you know this is essentially the international benchmark for software testing.
The gold standard, yeah.
And what really stood out to me in the source material is how streamlined this is. Because underneath all the complexity, the millions of lines of code, the massive tech budgets, the entire framework actually boils down to a surprisingly simple structure.
It really does.
It rests on just two fundamental roles.
That is the core of it right there. When you look at the entire structure of software testing, according to the ISTQB standard, it is supported entirely by these two pillars. But we should probably clarify the terminology right away because the formal documentation can be, well, it can be a little frustrating.
Just a little.
They literally just call these two roles test management and testing.
Okay, let's unpack this because they do sound exactly the same.
They really do.
Test management and testing. It sounds like someone in human resources just used a thesaurus to create a second job title so they could justify another hire.
Oh, completely. It's a common trap to look at those titles and just assume they overlap in their daily tasks. But you cannot let those similar names deceive you.
Because they're actually totally different.
Exactly. While they absolutely need each other to function, I mean, one literally cannot exist without the other. Their actual operational functions are like night and day. To put it in the most functional terms, one role is responsible for architecting the strategy, and the other role is responsible for executing that exact strategy.
Strategy versus execution. I love how clean that divide is. And our source material uses a really, really helpful metaphor to explain this division of labor.
A movie one, right?
Yeah, the movie metaphor. It compares making software, and specifically testing software, to making a movie.
It's perfect.
Because you have a massive production, a lot of moving parts, finite resources, and you need a very clear division of labor to get the final product onto the screen without it being a complete disaster.
It is an incredibly apt analogy. So let's look at that first role, test management. In our movie metaphor, test management is the director of the film. This is the ultimate strategist.
They aren't the ones hammering the nails.
Exactly. The director isn't physically building the sets. They aren't setting the lighting. They aren't holding the boom mic. They are focused on the big overarching questions of the production.
The structural stuff.
Yes. They are asking the structural questions. What are we doing? When are we doing it? And how are we going to pull it off with the budget and the time we actually have?
So they have that global vision. They're looking at the entire project from a bird's eye view. But how does that actually look in practice?
Well,
Because in software, the stakes are incredibly high and the variables are constantly shifting. In Hollywood, if a movie flops, if it goes way over budget and nobody goes to see it, the studio doesn't blame the caterer.
no, they don't.
They blame the director. So I imagine it's the exact same thing in software development.
The accountability is identical. If the testing project fails, if a massive system-breaking bug slips through and crashes the platform on launch day.
Which happens?
It happens.
Yeah.
And when it does, all eyes and all the blame point directly to the test management role.
Wow.
It is a position of intense pressure. They're responsible for leading the entire process, overseeing every single testing activity, and making sure the final product aligns with the business requirements.
That's a heavy burden.
It is. And to carry that burden, the test management role has to move through three very specific, very critical phases.
Let's walk through those phases. Right. What is phase one for the director before the cameras even start rolling?
Phase one is planning.
Makes sense.
Before anyone steps onto the set, the director has to draw the roadmap for the entire project. In software testing, this means defining the scope of what will and won't be tested.
Keith, you can't test everything.
You literally can't. So you mean setting the objectives, figuring out the schedule, and allocating resources. You have to determine what kind of testing environments you need, what tools will be used, and who is actually going to do the work.
It's the foundation.
The absolute foundation. If the planning is flawed, everything that follows is going to be compromised.
But wait, how does a test manager plan for bugs they don't even know exist yet?
That's the trick.
Like, how do you budget time and resources for the unknown? You can't just find 10 critical errors on a calendar for next Tuesday.
Right. And that is the real art of the test management role. It involves heavy risk assessment. You aren't scheduling the bugs themselves. You're scheduling the hunt.
The hunt. I like that.
You look at the architecture of the software and ask, where are the highest areas of risk? If you're building an e-commerce platform, the payment gateway is a massive risk area.
Oh, absolutely. If that fails, you lose money instantly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But a visual glitch on the About Us page, that's a low risk. So yeah. The manager allocates a disproportionate amount of time and resources to testing that payment gateway.
Okay, so they're budgeting for the unknown by prioritizing the most critical paths.
Spot on.
Which leads us directly into phase two, because once that plan is in place, reality is going to hit. So what happens next?
Phase two is monitoring and control.
Okay.
The project has started. The metaphorical cameras are rolling. But the director doesn't just sit back in their chair and hope for the best.
Hmm.
They're constantly watching the plan unfold in real time. They're looking at metrics, tracking how many tests have been run, how many defects have been found, and whether the team is staying on schedule.
And I imagine the control part of monitoring and control is where they really earn their keep.
Oh, definitely.
Because no complex technical project ever goes exactly according to the initial plan. Scope creep happens, deadlines get moved up, critical environments go down.
The control aspect is entirely about course correction. It's an active, sometimes really aggressive process. If the manager sees that the testing for that payment gateway is taking twice as long as expected because the code is incredibly buggy.
Which means the schedule is blown.
Exactly. So they have to intervene. Mm. They might have to pull testers off a lower priority feature and reassign them. They have to adjust the schedule, negotiate with the developers, and just solve logistical problems on the fly to keep the whole production from derailing.
It requires constant vigilance,
right,
and adaptability. Okay, so we have planning, we have monitoring and control. What is the final phase for our strategist?
Phase three is completion.
The wrap party.
Basically. The movie has been shot, edited, and it is ready for the audience. In the testing world, this is the point where the testing cycles are finished and the team evaluates the final results against the initial objectives they set way back in the planning phase.
Right.
The test management role compiles all the data, assesses the remaining risks, and presents the final report.
So this is essentially the premiere of the testing project.
Yes.
They are delivering the final verdict. And that is a massive responsibility because they're basically the ones who have to look at the stakeholders and say, yes, this is ready to go out into the real world, or no, this is too unstable, we have to delay the launch.
It is the ultimate go or no-go decision. They're handing over a comprehensive view of the software's quality so the business leaders can make an informed choice. That encompasses the entire strategic arc, planning, monitoring, and control, and completion.
It makes total sense from a high-level perspective, but a director can't make a movie all by themselves.
No, they can't.
They can plan all day long, they can monitor the budget, but somebody actually has to step in front of the camera and deliver the performance.
Exactly.
And that brings us to the second pillar of the ISTQB standard. If test management is the director, then the testing role is the actor.
The actor enters the scene. And this is where the dynamic completely shifts.
How so?
The testing role is where the abstract strategy turns into tangible work. There's absolutely no high-level strategy happening in this tier.
So they aren't looking at the big picture?
Not at all. This role isn't worrying about the overall budget or the stakeholder reports or the long-term project schedule. This role is pure practical execution.
They aren't writing the script, they are performing it.
Yes.
But it's not just mindlessly clicking buttons, is it? I mean, it requires a deep technical understanding of the system.
Oh, absolutely. What's fascinating here is how incredibly logical and systematic the actor's day-to-day process is. Just like the director had three phases. The testing role, the executor moves through four very detailed, highly technical steps. This isn't just about trying to break things randomly. It's a calculated, methodical process.
Let's break those down because this is where the actual hunt for the vulnerabilities takes place. What is step one for the executor?
Step one is analysis. Before an actor can perform, they have to read the script, right?
Right.
They have to understand the character's motivations and the context of the scene. Well, in software testing, the person in the testing role has to thoroughly analyze the test basis.
These test basis.
Yeah, they're looking at the business requirements, the user stories, the architectural diagrams. They need to understand exactly what the software is supposed to do.
Right, because you can't validate the software if the business requirements are vague from the start.
Exactly.
You need clear acceptance criteria. Like, if the documentation just says, make the search bar work fast, the tester has to analyze that and ask, what does fast mean?
Yes. Do we mean under 2 seconds, under half a second?
Exactly. They are translating vague ideas into concrete expectations.
And that is a crucial point, because if you don't validate the requirements during the analysis phase, you will end up designing terrible tests.
Right.
So once they have that firm baseline, they move to step two, which is design. This is where the testing role creates the test cases.
In our movie metaphor, this would be the stage directions, right? The detailed choreography of the scene.
Exactly. The tester is writing out the exact sequence of technical events they will perform. They're outlining the preconditions, the input data they'll use, and the expected results.
Okay.
But they aren't just designing for the happy path, you know, the scenario where the user does everything perfectly. A huge part of the design phase involves edge cases.
Oh, edge cases are fascinating. That's exploring what happens when the user does something completely unexpected.
Right.
Like, what happens if they enter letters into a field that only asks for numbers? Or what happens if they hit the submit button 50 times in 3 seconds?
Yes, the test cases have to account for all of that. They are designing a rigorous gauntlet for the software to run through.
A gauntlet. I love that.
And once the design phase is complete, they move to step three, which is implementation. In the film world, this is where the crew prepares the stage. They build the sets, they set up the lighting, and get the props ready.
And in software testing, setting the stage is often one of the most technically demanding parts of the job, because you can't just run these tests on your personal laptop. You have to set up the testing environment.
It requires meticulous preparation. Implementation might mean setting up CI/CD pipelines, spinning up staging environments that mimic the production servers.
Or seeding a database.
Exactly. Seeding a database with thousands of mock user profiles so you have realistic data to work with. You have to ensure that all the external APIs are connected and responding.
It's a lot of prep work.
The tester is making sure the stage is absolutely perfect, because if the environment is flawed, the test results will be completely useless.
Right, because you could get a false positive or false negative just because the server wasn't configured correctly, not because the software itself was broken.
Precisely.
So the stage is set. What comes next?
Step four is execution. The director yells action. The actor steps into the spotlight and performs.
Here we go.
For the testing role, this is the raw execution of the plan. They take those meticulously designed test cases, they run them in the carefully implemented environment, and they record exactly what happens.
This is the actual hands-on hunt. And it's not just about noticing that something went wrong. It's about documenting it with incredible precision.
Yes.
They're logging the exact steps to reproduce the bug, grabbing server logs, taking screenshots, and triaging the severity of the failure.
It is a massive feedback loop. They execute the test, log the defects, send them back to the developers to be fixed, and then execute the tests all over again once a new build is deployed. So, the actor's complete journey is analysis to understand the requirements, design to create the test cases, implementation to set up the technical environment, and execution to hunt down the bugs.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting, though, because everything we have talked about so far paints a very specific, almost theoretical picture.
Right.
On paper, according to the standard, it looks like this incredibly clean, perfectly defined split. You have the strategic manager sitting clearly on one side of the room analyzing risks and budgets, and the technical executor sitting clearly on the other side writing test cases and spinning up servers.
In theory, yes.
But what actually happens when we step out of the textbook and into the messy, chaotic reality of modern software development? Are these always two completely different groups of people?
That's the pivotal question for anyone working in the industry today. Because theory is great for textbooks, but reality dictates how we actually work.
Exactly.
And the ISTQB standard is highly pragmatic about this. It reveals a critical twist to this whole structure. A single person can occupy both roles simultaneously.
So the standard explicitly acknowledges that the role of test management and the role of testing can be held by the exact same person at the exact same time.
Yes. If we connect this to the bigger picture, it completely changes how we view professional software development, especially when you move away from traditional massive waterfall projects and look at modern lean environments.
Right. Agile teams.
Exactly. It proves that you don't need a massive, sprawling organizational chart just to have a formal, standardized testing structure. The standard is fundamentally about the functions being performed, not the headcount in the room.
That is a massive distinction. It's not about having a manager title and an executor title on the payroll. It's about making sure that the planning, the monitoring, the analysis, and the execution are all happening, even if it's just one person furiously changing hats throughout the day.
And in reality, especially in startups, smaller tech companies, or cross-functional teams using fast-paced agile methodologies, this is practically the norm. Oh yeah, you often have a single quality assurance engineer embedded in a development squad. That one person is wearing both hats.
I want to talk about the psychology of that because it sounds incredibly demanding. Imagine trying to be the director and the lead actor on the same film.
It's exhausting.
The context switching alone must be exhausting. You have to start your morning looking at the project from 10,000 feet up, drawing the roadmap, assessing the risks of the upcoming sprint, and reporting progress to the stakeholders.
And then an hour later, you have to completely shift your perspective.
Yeah.
You drop out of the clouds and get into the absolute weeds.
Right.
You roll up your sleeves, write the technical test cases, configure the staging environment, and start hunting for bugs in the code.
You are zooming all the way out and then zooming all the way in multiple times a day. But beyond just the mental agility required, doesn't that introduce some conflict of interest?
What do you mean?
Well, if you are the one writing the strategic plan and you are also the one executing it, aren't you essentially grading your own homework?
That is the inherent risk of combining the roles. When the planner evaluates their own execution, there is a natural psychological bias.
You want your plan to succeed.
Exactly. You might unconsciously design tests that align too closely with how you plan the process, rather than how a user might actually break the system. You might overlook a critical failure because you're just too close to the project.
Or you might downplay a delay during the monitoring and control phase because you are the one causing the delay in the execution phase.
Precisely. You have to maintain an incredible amount of professional discipline to keep those functions separate in your mind.
That sounds incredibly tough.
It is. You have to hold yourself accountable to the strategy when you're executing, and you have to be brutally honest about the execution when you are reporting on the strategy.
Wow.
But the key takeaway from the standard is that whether it is a global enterprise team of 50 people divided perfectly into management and testers, or just one highly skilled engineer doing it all in a startup, the fundamental architecture of quality remains exactly the same.
The functions don't change.
Exactly. The director's job and the actor's job both have to get done for the software to survive the real world.
It is such a fascinating lens to view our digital infrastructure through. Okay, we've covered a massive amount of ground here, from the high-stakes illusion of flawless apps to the nitty-gritty of testing standards and agile realities.
We definitely have.
Let's synthesize the absolute most essential takeaways we've pulled from the source material.
The foundational takeaway is that software quality is a deliberate, structured process built on two distinct pillars. First, you have test management. That is your director.
The strategist.
Yes. They are the strategist who lives in the world of planning, risk assessment, monitoring and control, and final completion. They hold the global vision and take the heat if the final product fails.
And the second pillar is testing. That is your actor. They are the executor who lives in the world of practical, technical action. They analyze the requirements, design the detailed test cases, implement the environments, and execute the actual hunt for vulnerabilities.
And crucially, The reality of modern software development dictates that these two incredibly distinct roles don't necessarily mean two different people.
Right.
The structure is about the necessary functions, not the number of employees. One person can, and very often does, carry the weight of both the director and the actor, requiring immense mental agility to balance strategy and execution simultaneously.
So, what does this all mean for you? Well, the next time you open up a mission-critical platform, whether it's checking your bank balance, accessing medical records, or just relying on a tool to do your job, and it opens flawlessly without a single glitch, I want you to picture the director and the actor working tirelessly behind the scenes.
With a great visual.
Think about the risk assessments that were planned, the requirements that were analyzed, the environments that were built, and the countless critical bugs that were found and fixed before that software ever reached your hands.
So much work goes into it.
Whether it was a massive corporate team in a high-rise office or just one highly caffeinated engineer wearing both hats in a startup, that seamless experience was meticulously designed, managed, and tested for you.
It definitely shifts your perspective. You stop seeing just an interface and start seeing the invisible architecture of quality that holds it all together.
It absolutely does. But before we wrap up this deep dive, our source material leaves us with a final, really provocative thought. And we want to pass this dilemma directly on to you to mull over.
This raises a critical question about the balance of power in any technical project, especially when you think about the dynamic between the strategist and the executor.
We want you to explore this on your own, regardless of whether these roles are occupied by one person doing it all or a massive team dividing the labor. What do you think is ultimately more critical for the success of a product?
It's a tough one.
Which side of the equation holds more weight when the pressure is on? Is it better to have a truly brilliant, flawless strategy that ends up being executed in a really mediocre, sloppy way? Or is it better to have a perfect, technically flawless execution of a strategy that is just completely terrible from the start?
Strategy versus execution. When push comes to shove, which one saves the project and which one guarantees failure?
It is a complex question with profound implications for how we build things. We're going to leave that question hanging right there for you to think about the next time you interact with a flawless or heavily bugged piece of software. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. We'll catch you next time.